Let's open in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for what you did for us on that cross of Calvary. Thank you that you are the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, and the only sacrifice that could have taken away the sins of the world. And now, Lord, as we continue in this meeting, Lord, help me to be a mouthpiece for you. Help everything that I say to be washed away, Lord, but what you say to be remembered and applied to people's lives throughout this coming week. In your name, amen. Okay, you know, it was funny. This morning, Esther and I were getting ready to come over here, and I was telling her, you know, this person, she didn't know, but she goes, this person is on vacation, and I said, this person is traveling with them, and these people are gone, and they're, you know, this is their first week gone, there's going to be one more week, and she goes, you know, who's even going to be there? I'm like, oh, that's a good question. And then we started talking a little bit more, and it's like about our special music, and she's like, a choir of two? I mean, you know, but no, it was good, and I'm glad y'all are here. So I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a little while, and I am going to kind of dig into two hymns, but I want to give you a kind of a background of why I chose those two hymns, as well as how this message kind of came about. As well, obviously, we'll be reading a good little bit of scripture. So, as many of you know, some of you don't, but Esther and I are in the process of trying to buy a house. It has not been the most fun experience at all. There's been a whole ton of emotional ups and downs and financial ups and downs throughout the whole ordeal, and from what I'm told, it isn't stopping anytime soon, even though we're probably about three-quarters of the way through it, hopefully. So just to kind of give you a brief summary, we found a house, we put an offer on it below asking price, which go figure, right? And they actually accepted it, which, cool. And then we had an inspection done, and the inspector said, well, there's this wrong, and structural issues here and there. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Lord, what are you trying to do? The downer to that is that we didn't renew our lease on our apartment, so by the end of August, in the next week or two, we need to be out of the apartment, and we are effectively homeless. But thankfully, the body of Christ has provided for us, right? So, like I said, the inspector found some stuff, and I'm like, oh, you know what? That I can fix. That I can kind of push off a couple years and maybe pay somebody to do it. But all in all, I'll still take the house, you know? So then the appraiser came in for the bank that we were going through, and they found more issues that the inspector did not see and I did not see, and then I had Joe come out and he didn't see them, and so the bank came in and said, hey, guess what? Unless you spend an additional $22,000, we're not lending you the money. So, oh, great. So up and down and up and down. So it was very significant structural issues. So basically the foundation. Then we like, okay, look, you know, I can't afford that, so we're going to walk away. Well, then the seller said, hey, you know what? We've got another appraiser. We want to see. We think that what they appraised you at was not fair. I agree, because they kind of nickel and dimed us on some stuff. And they're like, we have this other person we'd like to go through, and we'll see if that's more agreeable for you. We did, and it is. And right now, they're paying to get the stuff done. Good deal. And that's where we sit right now. I'll have to, probably by Wednesday, I'll have more of an update for you, but that is where we sit. All of that to say that at one point during this whole ordeal, I got the text message. I was at work, and the particular part that I was running had an hour cycle time. So, you know, you hit the button, and you're kind of sitting here twiddling your thumbs or, you know, cleaning up or what have you. In my case, in this instance, it was an hour to sit here and stew and worry, and it's like, oh, Lord, why are you doing this to me? So frustration, stress, pressure was all getting to me. So unashamedly, I will admit that I was crying at my machine, and it was not fun. Thankfully, I was kind of tucked into a corner, and nobody really saw me. But then I had a thought. It's like, you know, I'm not going about this the right way at all. So I had a word of prayer, and I'm like, you know, who else knows all about being stressed and pressured on every side? I'm like, you know, King David probably knew a thing or two about this. So what I started doing is I'm like, you know what, let's go to Psalms, right? So I went to Psalms 1, and I read through it, and I've read Psalms 1 a million times, and I'm like, all right, cool. Then I, you know, calmed down a little bit. Then I read Psalms 2. And while that's not going to be the bulk of where we're going to be at this morning, I do want to read just the first couple of verses. It says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Going through my head, the Lord, or David, was pressured on every side. And it says, what does it say that the Lord does? Is that he laughs at that. He holds them in derision. And I was kind of sitting here thinking, wow, look who I got, right? We already know the end of this story, the end of life's story. The Lord wins. You know, you read a book, and when you read the end of the story first, it's like, oh, I know what's going on. In this case, I know that the Lord wins. And who cares about me more than my Savior? That next then brought me to Psalms 91, and that is where I want you to turn for the bulk of our message. Psalms 91, and we're going to read the chapter. It says this, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." So, as I was saying, I was reading through this, and I read through it a couple different times just to kind of let it sink in. And I had a couple of different thoughts on that. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I'll be okay. I'll be all right. I had a couple, one thing, I remember Grandpa Goodyear. Most of you know him, some of you don't. But he also had a verse that he really loved. And it was, I have been young, and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So I'm sitting here, you know, freshly married, 9-month-old daughter, facing homelessness, or at the very least, not knowing exactly where I'm going to go. And I've got great-grandpa in the back of my head going, you're not going to be starving, don't worry. And I started kind of reading through this, and a few different things kind of came to my mind. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a million and one different hymns. I've come up with a couple of them that we're going to turn to in a second. And I was like, you know, residing in God, trusting in him, what a great place to be. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. So we all, you know, the internet and video games weren't around when the Foxes got married, but it was when I was growing up. So, you know, we loved Age of Empires. So, and then Jordy is a history nut, so he reads all about the castles and whatever else. But a fortress. a castle is what I think of. When somebody tells me that he is our fortress, I think of a castle. You think about these four walls made of probably solid stone or brick or whatever you want to say, basically impenetrable, minus a few, you know, trebuchets or whatever you, an elephant or something, right? Impenetrable. You're safe there. And then verse 3 is, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The snare of the fowler. I haven't done trapping or any kind of trapping before. Obviously, I'm a big hunter, and you guys know that, but trapping I never got into. I did do a little bit of looking into it, and I'm like, you know, how do you trap stuff? I had a friend that traps stuff, and he goes, oh, yeah, you just do this, and you do that, and in New York State, you got to check them every day, and I'm like, okay, I'm a little busy for that, but yeah, you can trap stuff, and it's not that hard. To simplify it, boil it down, we set mouse traps all the time. Okay, you give them a little bit of bait, and they come and take the bait, and hopefully it snaps on them. He will protect you from the snare of the fowler. When you've got something in your way, and you're going to go up, and you're going to take that bait, and it snaps shut on you, God will protect you from that. To apply it to my situation, God's going to protect you. From the noisome pestilence, I had to look that up. Basically, trouble. He'll protect you from trouble. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Two things with that. We had, now this is going back a long time, but when we lived at our old house in Orchard Park there, we had a cat, and her name was Boots. She was a beast. Man, she could, you want to talk about a good mouser and what have you, she stood up to two beagles and backed them down into a corner. It was awesome. She was a great cat. And she was an outside cat. So the one day I kind of went outside, and there's a duck, mother duck, with her hatchlings. I don't know exactly what they're called, but basically her little ones. And you had Boots that was sitting here. You could see her. She was stalking up on it. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to be good. What did that mother duck do? But she spread out her wings and made sure that her babies didn't get touched by Boots. And that was a great illustration from what something that I read here, obviously, is that he shall cover thee, meaning the Lord, with his feathers. A mother duck covering you with his feathers. And what a perfect illustration, as we had absolute downpour out here. Esther put the raincoat over top of Evelyn's car seat so she could walk her in, and she didn't get wet at all. And then also, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I've never actually seen, I don't think, a real-life shield. I think I've seen maybe some mock-ups of one or something like that. Or when we were kids, you know, we'd take a piece of plywood and we'd put a string through it, and, you know, that was our shield, so to speak. But he will be your shield. And I think about Goliath's shield, how big it was, and what it was supposed to do for him. And it was so heavy that he had to have somebody carry it for him. I also think about, going back into history, you think about the various types of ways that they held their shields above their heads and then in front of them. I believe it was the Romans who did that to protect against arrows coming in and spears and swords coming forward. Take away from that, God's going to protect me, if you'll notice a theme here. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So funny story, and I'm honest, I'm not making this up. It would have been early Saturday morning, about 2:30 in the morning. Backstory, I'm a heavy sleeper. Nothing wakes me up, okay? Esther's like, you didn't hear that thunder and lightning last night? I'm like, no, I didn't. I slept right through it. She goes, man. I was woken up, kind of in a daze, and like you hear it, like you're dreaming, right? You hear it, says, that's a dream. No, that's real. It was a thud, thud, thud. And I was like, I woke up, and then Esther kind of snuck her hand, and she was holding mine. She goes, did you hear that? You know, you awake? And I'm like, yeah, I heard that. Like, it had to be loud enough that I heard it, right? And she goes, what do you think it was? I'm like, I have no idea, but I'm going to go check it out. And thankfully, I always lock my doors, always. double locked. It's got the handle lock and it's got the deadbolt, and because we have it, I put the chain across as well. I look through, nothing there. I open the window, nothing there. I've got my my dash cam on my truck. I'm like, I'm going to check that. Didn't see anything on that. But something made some kind of noise. And what was I thinking about as I'm preparing this message, right? That could have been a whole lot worse. She goes, it sounded like somebody was knocking on the window. I'm like, it probably was. And I didn't see anything on the camera. For all I know, I dreamt it. I don't know. But both of us had the same dream then. thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. God's going to protect you. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. I think that kind of is self-explanatory there. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Night or day, you're going to be protected. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. It won't get close to you. God's going to protect you. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Rest in Christ. This is where I want to go to a couple of the hymns. It's number, we're not going to sing them, I just want to read them. Number 275 in the green, How Firm a Foundation. So I was thinking about this as I was kind of having my emotional breakdown there at work, and one of the main things that the first appraiser saw, it's like, oh, your foundation's terrible. It's bowing, and I'm like, well, how do you know that? Like, they didn't say anything. I didn't ask. My guess is that they saw a crack, and that's like, for sure, that's your foundation. Everybody that I've talked to, nobody saw it or anything like that, so I don't know. I'm going to kind of roll the dice, I think. But how firm a foundation, right? You've got foundation issues in your house. I was like, well, okay. This was a song that I was thinking about. First one, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Verse 2, fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus had leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. The soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That helped tremendously. And it was when I was kind of reading through Psalms 91 at my machine, and I texted Esther. I said, you know, I am really not doing good right now, but check this out. And I texted her, and she goes, well, I'm praying for you extra today. We can talk more when we get home. So, cool. I really liked the hymn and the writer of said hymn in verse 4 in the last stanza. I'll never, no, never, never forsake. It's not scripture, obviously, but when things are written a couple different times, and we're told to really kind of pay attention to it. I love that. I'll never forsake you. Thinking, obviously, of Hebrews 13:5 as well. So continuing on in Psalms 91, verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Again, ironically, I kind of want to go look at the basement of this new place after all this, you know, downpouring, but we shall see. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Angels come and protect you. I've heard the term guardian angel before. I don't think I've ever read it anywhere in Scripture. It's just kind of one of those things you hear as a kid and accept it for what it is, but here we are. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I've had a few different close calls in my life. I can remember being in 3 separate car crashes and walking away with nothing more than a bruise and maybe a scratch. And I can remember the first one when we hit a deer with Logan's Mustang. I apologize again. And I was driving and airbags went off. Nothing. The deer obviously got pretty hurt, but we got nothing. And then the second one, when we were driving home from work, Logan and I were working third shift, and he was driving his car, and we had a semi pull out in front of us, and we had to cut the wheel, and we ended up center punching perfect a telephone pole. We got nothing but a couple of scratches, maybe a bruise or two, nothing. Logan's car, again, I apologize, was totaled. Yep. And then also driving Logan's car on third shift, Jordan was with him at that time. They were driving back out to mom's because that's where we were living at the time. And obviously a woman slams her brakes on and they rear end her. Nothing wrong with the people. Logan's car was totaled. Sorry again. So Logan's been through a few cars. Yes. Yep. And then finally, when I got T-boned, going from, I was at work and going to get lunch, and they slammed into me. My car's totaled. I'm fine. A couple scratch, bruise here and there, nothing. I've had a few brushes, and nothing seems to, it rings true, and it hits different when those kind of things happen to you. My guardian angel will come, he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. How much more when all I'm really facing is losing some space? And, you know, Jordy's a lot of fun to live with, but, you know, no, I'm just kidding. For he shall, verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Bearing you up in their hands. I came home that night and I was talking with Esther. In the evenings, what we'll do is we'll have some juice, and then we also play a game called Wordle, and we face Miriam to see who can get the word in the fewest amount of attempts. So we'll get it, and then we'll screenshot it and say, hey, we got it in this much, and then she'll say, okay, I got it in this much, you guys win, or you guys lose, or what have you. So we finished all that, and we were kind of sitting there just quiet, and Evelyn was in bed, and I said, you know, this is what I sent you, and it was really it was a tough day. And she goes, you know, backstory, Evelyn doesn't sleep well as far as getting her to bed. I can't put her to bed. I've tried it several times. She just will not fall asleep for me, so she has to be with Esther. And one of the ways that we have to do it is Esther, we got a great big old exercise ball, and Esther sits there and bounces her for hours on end. And hats off to my wife. She's got muscles I don't even know about. And she goes, you know, I look at her, and it's like she's all fussy at first, and she's kind of crying or whatever, and then the more you kind of go on that exercise ball and kind of soothe her to sleep, she relaxes, and then she's quiet, and then she closes her eyes, and then, you know, her hands kind of start to fall like this, and she relaxes. She's no longer worried about anything that's going on. I'm in mom's hands. I can fall asleep. And what that brought to mind was the second hymn that I was thinking about is number 354 in the Green Hymn Book. 354. It says, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Chorus says, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Verse 2, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Verse 3, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. And finally, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Now, don't mischaracterize the chorus, because, again, Evelyn's trying to walk, and oftentimes she'll kind of climb up. This morning, Esther's like, Clay, you need to come grab her. I'm like, okay, what's going on? She's sitting in the bathroom doing her hair, and Evelyn was like trying to climb up her dress, grab it and climb. And I'm like, well, you know, of course I'm me. What's the matter with that? Come on. And she goes, yeah. Well, she grabs onto it. She leans too far, and the dress is not particularly stable, and she falls over, and the bathroom at the apartment is tile. So it's like, I don't want her to crack her head open. I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. So I came by, and I grabbed my daughter. And leaning, when you look at various things, you know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa or whatever you might think of, usually when I think of it, means not structurally sound or unstable. I don't think at all that that is what this means and what that hymn writer meant either. What you're leaning against is what he was referring to, leaning on Jesus, and safe and secure in his arms. What better place to be than in the arms of Jesus Christ? Verse 13 of Psalms 90. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, neither will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It was kind of verse 15 there. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Like I said, I sat back, and I'm like, I am going about this all wrong. All wrong. First thing that you should have done, when any of these text messages or emails or phone calls come in with that kind of bad news, talk to God. Find out, you know, hey, what's going on? Lord, I know that you know what's going on. I know that you're more powerful than anybody could ever imagine. So fix this for me. Yes, I might have to do some work, but you know what, Lord? I'm going to lean on you, because there is no firmer foundation than what God has set for us. I will be with him in trouble. What a great feeling. I can remember one time we were out hunting out to Uncle Neil's and now Gary's, and I was probably 12 years old, just a little, you know, little guy, maybe Justin's age. And they gave me a radio, and they said, all right, I'm going to put you here. All you need to do is walk that way. Cool, I can do that. And then it was probably only maybe 50 to 100 yards that my dad walked away. But as far as I was concerned, I was dead alone, and there was nobody around. And it was terrifying. All I got to do, this was not to age myself, but it was before smartphones. And you couldn't just look up, you know, well, where am I on the map? So I had to walk this way. Okay, well, there's a great big old bush of prickers right there. I'm going to go around. Well, you don't ever course correct when you go perfectly when you go back around, unless you have a compass, which I didn't. And I got turned around. And it's like, well, you know, walk for 5 minutes, you'll be out. Okay, all right. It's been an awful lot longer than 5 minutes. I don't know where I am, and I don't know where anybody else is. This is scary. Got on the radio. Thankfully, my father was on the other end, and it worked, and we had good batteries, and he said, all right, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to yell for you. You just walk to the sound of my voice. Okay, I can do that. So he did, and I did. We got back up together, and he's like, you know, I think about this often. I think about that time often, and even when I'm out back again, out at Mom's, and I will be with him in trouble. What a great feeling it would have been if I had somebody who knew where they were, just like the back of their hand. I've been out with Megan before, and we go out, and usually it's berry picking or something like that, but sometimes when we get in the thick of it, she goes, where are we? Of course, I always say, oh, sis, we're 10 yards from the trail. Everything's fine. I know exactly where we are. We could be out in 5 seconds. In reality, I have no clue. No clue where we are. But I know how to find out where we are and where to go. And even with, you know, she doesn't know where we are, but it's a lot of fun and it's a lot better and easier on me, even someone who's supposedly good at it, that to have that second person with you. How much better we have God with us. We've got our Savior with us who knows everything. And it's a kind of a stupid analogy, but being lost in the woods, he knows where to go. The GPS, the God positioning system, right? So all of that to say, if I was going to title a message, or this message, I was going to say, you know, oh, stressed and pressed on every side, but God is by your side. So hopefully, I know we have people, we have a lot of people gone, but how much better is it to have God with you as opposed to not? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Heavenly Father, thank you for what you did for us on that cross of Calvary. Thank you for protecting us, Lord. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for being an ever-present help in times of trouble. Please give us safety as we go about the rest of our day, Lord. Give us wisdom in the decisions that we make. And most of all, Lord, help us be a light for you in an ever-darkening world. We ask all these things in your name and in your will. Amen.